Veti lokameshwaram asamudhasamarjeshu sarvapapai pramuchyate. He who knows me as the unborn, as the beginningless, as the supreme lord of all the worlds, he only, undiluted among men, is freed from sins. Krishna personally declares his supreme absolute position in the slokas of the Bhagavad Gita. And similarly, all of the Vedic literatures composed by Vedavyas and all of the great self-realized acharyas throughout history confirm this truth. Matta parataram nanyat kinchit asti dananjaya mai saravamitam protam sutret manikana eva. Krishna declares that there is no truth superior to him. Aham sarvasya prabhavo matta sarvam pravartate. That he is the source of all the spiritual worlds and all of the material worlds. Krishna is the absolute truth in whom all relative truths are eternally depending for their very existence. The Shastras explain the supreme position of Krishna in so many wonderful ways. Krishna explains in the Gita how all the demigods, Brahma, Vishnu, Maheshwar, Indra, Vayu, Chandra, Yama, they are all his deputed and empowered servants. That all of these great and mighty demigods who conduct the universal affairs, they are all part and parcel of Krishna. They are specially endowed to perform their functions by the will of Krishna. And whatever benedictions the devatas can offer you, the best they could do is just deliver it on behalf of Krishna. Because Krishna is the source of everything. Nothing exists that is not the property of Krishna. Krishna says, Bhoktaram Jagatapasa Sarva Loka Maheshwaram. That everything is his property. Therefore, when we worship the demigods for some material benediction, they simply take some of the property belonging to the external energy of Krishna, and with his sanction, they have the power to give it to us. But in reality, Krishna is giving everything. It is also explained, even the most powerful of the demigods, Lord Shiva, the Brahma Samhita describes that he is also a partial expansion of an expansion of the Supreme Lord Govindam, Sri Krishna. And Krishna's tu Bhagavan Swayam, of all the great incarnations that appear in this world, such as Lord Varaha Dev, Lord Matsya, Lord Narasimha, Parasuram, Lord Sri Ramchandra, Lord Vamanadeva. They are all partial expansions who are in their ultimate state being manifested from Krishna himself. All of these forms of the various incarnations have their own Vaikuntha planets, whereas Narayan, they are worshipped by their devotees. But the Shastras explains how Krishna, he is Swayam Bhagavan. He possesses all opulences in their complete fullness. And Narayan and all the various incarnations that appear from Narayan all manifest partial excellences of the Supreme Godhead, Krishna. Karanodakshayi Vishnu, Garabodakshayi Vishnu, Kshirodakshayi Vishnu. These great, great, great manifestations of God. They are all acting, it is actually Krishna who is acting in this subordinate way for the functions of material existence. But Govinda, he has nothing directly to do with this material existence. He is simply enjoying loving transcendental pastimes with his devotees in the spiritual world. And sometimes, once in a day of Lord Brahma, once every 4,320,000,000 years, Krishna, in his original form, descends from Goloka to display his most intimate and wonderful transcendental form and pastimes in this world. And to hear and chant the glories of these pastimes is the ultimate fulfillment of the desire of every soul. But in order to truly appreciate the beautiful pastimes of Sri Krishna, we must properly understand through philosophy and through realization, who is Krishna? What is his supreme position? And then when we hear these wonderful stories, our heart will naturally melt with love and will no longer feel any inclination toward any of the temporary sources of suffering in the name of enjoyment in this material world. Today is the first day of the month of Kartik. Kartik is another name of Srimati Radharani. It is the month of Srimati Radharani. It is her month because this month is specially endowed with the benediction that whoever practices sincerely devotion to Krishna will get immense spiritual benefits. Will get the special favor of the mother of bhakti, Srimati Radharani, in which our devotion, our love of God, can be quickly awakened. It is also called the month of Damodar because it was on the day of Diwali within this month that the wonderful pastime of Krishna in his little baby years was bound by the rope of Mother Yashoda. And it was also during this month when Krishna was older during his Leela in Vrindavan that Srimati Radharani personally with a rope made of flowers and twigs, she bound Krishna's rope, his waist, and tied him to a tree in the kunjas, the secret kunjas of Vrindavan, to keep him always with her. During this month, the Acharyas have taught us to sing the beautiful praises of Krishna in his Damodar Leela. Every morning, and in some temples every morning as well as every evening, we sing the Damodar Astakam by Satyavrat Muni, and we offer the lamp of our love to the lotus feet of Krishna and Yashoda Mai, who is the personification of such love that Krishna is overpowered to surrender to. And Satyavrat Muni explains in this beautiful song that the childhood pastimes of Lord Krishna drowned all the inhabitants of Vrindavan in ecstatic bliss. He expresses that he did not want liberation from all the sufferings in this world through the merging into the impersonal Brahman, nor does he even want residence in the Vaikuntha planets. But his only desire is the beautiful pastimes of Krishna as a little baby in Vrindavan be forever enacted within his mind. After Krishna appeared in the house of Nanda Maharaj, Nanda Maharaj had a wonderful festival, Nandotsav, a festival we celebrate the day after Janmashtami, the most glorious occasion when we celebrate the coming of Krishna. And it was on this day that His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada appeared in this world, which is very significant because He appeared in this world for only one purpose: to glorify and celebrate the appearance of Krishna and to somehow attract the whole world to take part in this wonderful festival of glorifying the appearance of Krishna through the chanting of the holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So just after the appearance of Krishna in the house of Sri Nanda Maharaj, he went to Mathura with the other cowherd men to meet with Vasudev, who was his dearest, dearest friend. And Vasudev gave certain indications to Nanda Maharaj that he should return home quickly and make sure he takes nice care of Krishna and Balaram. During his absence, Kamsa sent so many terrible rakshasas to kill all the children who had been born within the time that Krishna appeared in his prison cell in Mathura. Yogamaya told him the child is born somewhere else. Due to evil association, he was convinced that all children should be killed, all babies. So one of the most ferocious, terrible, bloodthirsty of the Rakshasis was Putana. Put means son. Putana means no son. If you meet Putana, you have no sons. Because wherever she is, she kills your son. That was her only business. So the Acharyas also explain Pu sometimes indicates piety. Putana means she has no piety. She's the most sinful. So this Putana, she had the power to travel freely through outer space. And she had the power through her mysticism to change her form to any way she wanted to appear. So traveling through the airways, She came to Brajbhumi, and she changed her terrible, gruesome form into that of the most beautiful, elegant young lady. Her beauty was so unparalleled that whoever saw it, their hearts would melt with attraction. Srila Prabhupada explains that Maya is like this. Maya empowers her representatives in this way, that sometimes she appears so beautiful, so charming, so nice, that we think, how can I live without this? But Putana was like a terrible, sharp and vicious sword in a very soft and decorated casing. We should never trust any of the things of this world, however they may appear. Because the very word Maya means that which is not. Whatever appears to you in this world, it is not what it appears to be. All the things that attract our senses to enjoy, that's not what it is. Shankaracharya uses the example. A man is attracted by the form of a beautiful woman. It appears to be such a source of pleasure. But actually, what is it? It is blood and pus and mucus and stool and all sorts of abominable ingredients. If you separate any of the elements from the body and take them out one by one, they're abominable. You practically vomit at the thought of it. But they're packaged in such a way that appears, oh, we cannot stop thinking about it. That which is not. This whole world is based on this principle. Therefore, we should see through the eyes of the Shastra. And we should see through the eyes of those great sadhus who are teaching according to the Shastra. Then only we can see things for what they are. Acharyopashanam. One who does not hear from the acharyas is completely in illusion. Whatever he considers to be is just something that it is not. So Putana, so beautiful, came directly to the house of Nanda Maharaj. And even Rohini and Yashoda, they thought she's so nice. They gave her entrance. And Putana sat down and she looked at Krishna. And Krishna looked at her. And when she looked at Krishna, she was thinking that this child is the Supreme Truth. This child is so powerful that he has come to this world, to this earth, just to kill all the demons. But even with this intelligence, because she was so conditioned to her activities as a Rakshasi, she still was thinking that I must kill him. Sometimes we hear the Shastra, we associate with the devotees, we know what is Krishna, what is Maya, and yet we see Maya, and we know this is not good. We know I should not do. But due to our previous conditionings, we think, but I know I'll suffer if I do this. I know my spiritual life will be destroyed if I do this. But due to our conditioning, we think, but still, I'll enjoy. Still, I'll be protected. That is the power of illusion. So Putana was in such illusion. This child has come to kill all demons. He's unconquerable, but I will kill him. Putana had already killed, not only would she kill, but she would eat the flesh and drink the blood of babies. So she lifted Krishna. And her breast, which is smeared with such a deadly poison that it immediately would kill whoever touched it. And she placed that deadly, deadly poisoned breast in the mouth of Krishna and told him to drink. Krishna began to suck her breast. And he sucked. And along with sucking, with his little tiny hands, he began to squeeze it. And not only did he suck all her milk, but her very life was being sucked by Krishna. And it became so unbearably painful. It was such an excruciating experience that she began to scream and howl, "Leave me, child, leave me, get off of my breast." And she was taking all of her powers, trying to somehow or other get rid of him. But Krishna held on, and he was squeezing, and he was sucking, and he was also kicking his legs. And in this way, it was just too much unbearable. So unbearable that she ran out of the house. She ran out of the village of Vrindavan. She ran into the pasturing grounds. And there she assumed her original form. And Krishna continued to suck her breast. And screaming in pain, she fell down. And all the trees and the pastures for 12 miles around were destroyed by the falling of her immense Rakshasi form. Meanwhile, Krishna, he just stayed in his same size, same form as a little tiny infant baby, just days old. To the residents of Vrindavan, he could not even open his eyes properly. He was so helpless, he could hardly even turn over in his bed properly. But to the demoness Putana, he was death personified. So he was playing on the very top of her breast, and Mother Yashoda and the other ladies of Vrindavan, horrified by this whole experience, ran out to get him. And the gopis, thinking that somehow or other the Supreme God must have protected our child in this terrible situation, they started to perform all different rituals for his protection. They took the switch of the cows and began to fan him to bring about auspicious blessings. And then they bathed him with the urine and stool, the dung of the cow. And then they covered him with the dust raised by the hooves of the cows. And then with the dung of the cows, they put tilak on all the 12 auspicious parts of the body and were chanting the names of Lord Narayan. Because the name of Lord Narayan is so powerful that it wards off all dangers. In any situation in life, whatever the circumstance may be, we can always be fearless and protected when we take the name of Krishna. The Srimad Bhagavatam explains that even fear personified is afraid of Krishna, who is fully present within the beautiful sound of his holy name. Soon Nanda Maharaj returned to his home, and when he came back, he saw what this was. He couldn't understand. Meanwhile, the Vrijabasis with different choppers, they chopped up Putana's body, and they put it in fire. And as it was burning, it smelled very, very sweet, like the incense made from aguru. Ah, how is this? Because although she was such a terrible, terrible, sinful person, because she rendered some service to Krishna, although it was unintentional, she didn't think she was serving Krishna. She thought she was killing Krishna. But still, Krishna accepted the milk from her breast. And therefore, she offered him the service of a mother. Because she had been touched by Krishna, Krishna purified her. The process of purification was terribly painful. We may have many sins when we come to Krishna consciousness, when we begin to serve Krishna and chant Krishna's name, we will get purified. And sometimes the purification is quite painful. But it is for sure that by rendering devotional service, we are cleansed of all of our sins. And our original perfect condition of Krishna consciousness is revived. So because she was purified by Krishna, after he drank away the poison of all of her sinful consciousness, all that remained was her pure, original, spiritual nature. And even her body, being purified by Krishna, became pure and emitted a beautiful, beautiful, sweet fragrance. And her soul was directly promoted to the highest of the spiritual abodes, Goloka Vrindavan, where she was given the position of the personal assistant of Mother Yashoda, acting as Krishna's nurse. When the great devotees hear this story, it brings great ecstasy to their heart. The spiritual master of Sri Gadadhar Pandit, Pundarik Vidyanidhi, when he heard this wonderful, wonderful sloka describing what other lord is so merciful, so kind, that even the evil Rakshasi Putana who came to kill him was given the eternal liberation of his own mother in the spiritual world simply because she offered some service to him. This is the power of bhakti. This is the power of Krishna's mercy. Soon after this, Krishna, when he was about 3 months old, there is a certain samskara, a certain ritual that is performed when a child is just starting to lean sideways and just starting to try to get up and walk. So they were performing this wonderful ceremony, the residents of Vrindavan, and Mother Yashoda, she was giving so many nice gifts to the Brahmins, and there were so many guests that were coming to her house. So in order to take care of the guests, she took Krishna from her arms and placed him very comfortably in a little bed underneath a cart on the ground. And Krishna was thinking that I want to drink the milk from my mother. Where has she gone? So in his little baby anger, he took his tiny foot, which was softer than the petal of a flower, and he kicked. And the kick gently touched the wheel of the cart, because he was so small. He could not reach the cart, so he kicked the wheel. And it was such a mighty blow that the cart was completely dismantled. The wheel separated from the axle, the cart fell down, and all the metal and other utensils scattered in all directions. Actually, there was a great demon of the name Shankatasura, who is a ghost. Ghosts are always anxious to haunt someone. And sometimes they can appear in different people or in different things. They enter into the material bodies. only to cause problems. So this ghost entered into a cart specifically to kill Krishna. But Krishna destroyed that body. And when the cart fell with a great, great sound, Yashoda, Mai, and the other devotees, they came running. And they were wondering, how is this, that this big, big cart has fallen and Krishna remains unharmed? How is this? And they began to speculate in so many ways. Maybe it is a demon, maybe it is a ghost, maybe some bad stars are influencing Krishna at this time. And some of the children said, no, we saw that your little baby kicked the wheel and the cart fell. But the gopis, they could not accept. How is it possible? Our little babies breaking this big, big cart. So again, they began to perform so many rituals and they called so many Brahmins to chant mantras to protect Krishna. When Krishna was 1 year old, it was his first birthday, and there was a wonderful, wonderful festival. Mother Yashoda was holding Krishna in her arms. And at that time, Krishna decided that a great demon is coming. His name is Trinavarta. And he's going to snatch me away. And if I'm in the arms of Yashoda, then he will also snatch her away. So I will protect her. So he became very heavy, like a mountain. And Mother Yashoda was thinking, why? He's so heavy. All of a sudden he's becoming so heavy, I cannot any longer hold him. This is too much. So she placed him down. And then she went to perform her chores. And at that time, Trinavarta entered into Vrindavan. He was a demon in the guise of a whirlwind. And as he was blowing so terribly, dust completely rose from the ground and nobody could see even inches in front of them. The whole atmosphere was filled with dust. So everyone was scattered around. And meanwhile, Mother Yashoda was thinking, where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? She couldn't see anything. But she only wanted to see one thing, Krishna. And bereft of the sight of Krishna, she could not live. She fell unconscious, like a cow that had just lost its calf. Meanwhile, Trinavarta lifted Krishna. How is that possible? When Krishna was in the arms of Yashoda, he became heavy like a mountain, so she had to put him down. But when Trinavarta came, Krishna assumed the weight of a piece of grass so that the demon could easily lift him. He was a great mystic. He took Krishna and he went up higher and higher into the sky. The acharyas explained what was his motive, that he would take Krishna higher enough away from everybody, then he would kill him and eat him. He was a great yogi with such powers, but he did not know that riding upon him was Yogeshwar, the supreme lord of all yogis, who is endowed with all powers, who can anima, mahima, lagima, who has all siddhis, who can be lighter than the lightest or heavier than the heaviness, according to his sweet will. So as Trinavarta was traveling higher, Krishna as a little child was very happy. He was getting a free ride. Children like to ride on things. They like to ride on their father's back. They like to ride on merry-go-rounds. So many, they like to take rides. So Krishna was very happily taking a ride through the sky. But then, haritranaya sadhunam vinashaya cha duskritam. In order to kill this great demon, his weight gradually began to increase. And it increased so he was heavy, not only like the mountain, but practically like the universe. And Trinavarta was becoming so tired, he could no longer possibly keep Krishna. So he was trying everything within his power to get Krishna away. But Lord Krishna, with his little tiny baby arms, he held on to Trinavarta's neck and began to squeeze and started choking him. So he could not breathe, he could not speak, he could not do anything. Now how is this that Krishna, when he killed Putana, he didn't have to change his size. When he killed Trinavarta, he remained just in this swarup of a little tiny baby. When we want to increase our weight, we have to increase our size also. That is our limited condition. When we're fat, we weigh more. When we reduce and become thin, we weigh less. Huh? When we're a little baby, we weigh 8-9 pounds. When we grow up and we're big, we may weigh 140, 150 pounds, whatever. But Krishna, he is the Lord of all material and spiritual laws. He is swarat, he is independent, as he likes. Krishna, in the little form of an infant child, could assume the weight of grass, or he could assume the weight of mountains and universes without even growing. So in this way, Trinavarta was so much overwhelmed that he came falling down to the ground with a great crash upon a stone slab, and all of his limbs were dislocated, and he was dead. And the gopis started running to the site, and there was Krishna, very, very carefree, enjoying crawling around on the big, big, broad chest of this demon. So innocent, like nothing happened. And again, they began to perform various rituals and inviting various Brahmins to chant mantras to protect this helpless and innocent baby from all of the dangers that were coming about. In fact, they were thinking, because we have performed many pious activities, therefore God Narayan has protected our child. Otherwise, how could he be saved? Little by little, Krishna and Balaram, they would crawl. And as they'd be crawling, they brought great happiness to the Brijavasis. Sometimes they would be covered with the dung and the urine of the cows and calves, because they loved to crawl through it. They would go to those places where the cows and calves were kept, and they would just crawl through the grounds. And Yashoda and Rohini would take their children, decorated with the cow dung of the Vrindavan cows, and take them on their laps and feed them their milk and kiss them and show so much love. Sometimes Yashoda and Rohini, they would sit together with Krishna Balaram, and when they went to feed them milk, they would open their mouths and they would see little tiny teeth just beginning to grow. And this would bring them great bliss. They would begin to count how many teeth are coming, enwrapped in motherly affection. Sometimes they would grab on to the tails of calves, and the calf would become afraid and start running, and Krishna Balaram would hold on and be swinging from the tail of the calves, dragging on the ground, and all of the gopis would find such fun. They would clap their hands and sing the glories of Krishna and Balaram. Krishna then began to walk. How wonderful! The absolute truth who maintains everything takes great efforts to learn how to walk. Just for the pleasure of his devotees, just to arouse loving parental affection from those who have surrendered their lives, Krishna performs these supreme pastimes in Gokul. Garga Muni was sent by Vasudev to Vrindavan to perform the birth's name-giving ceremonies of Krishna and Balaram. When Garga Muni came to the house of Nanda Maharaj, Nanda Maharaj was so much feeling blessed that this great Brahman has come. You have come just to give enlightenment and God's blessings to us. So he offered him his own nice hospitality. And he asked him, please perform the name-giving ceremony for Krishna and Balaram. So Garga Muni explained that the girl who comes to try to kill has said that the boy meant to kill him was born somewhere else. And because I am the priest of the Yadus, if it is known that I am performing the name-giving ceremony, he will suspect that these two children are the ones to kill him. And he will create even greater difficulties for you. But Nanda Maharaj, as a loving father, knew how important it is to receive the blessings of great souls for his children and to perform these purificatory ceremonies. So he said, let us do it secretly. We can do it in my cowshed, and nobody, not even my closest relatives, will know. So they went into the cowshed, and Garga Muni began to explain that because the first child of Rohini, because he will give great pleasure to all of his friends and relatives, he will be known as Rama. And because he will perform such incredible feats of supernatural spiritual strength, he will be known as Bala. And because he will unite the family, he will be known as Shankarshan. And this other child, he said, he is Narayan. He is as good as Narayan. He has appeared in various incarnations in various colors. He has appeared in a white color, in a red color, in a yellow color, in various yugas. And now he is appearing in this beautiful, beautiful blackish form. He will bring about the greatest joy in Gokul by performing his beautiful, beautiful pastimes. And he will protect all of his devotees always. Garga Muni explained the truth of Krishna. And he gave him the name Krishna because he would be all attractive to the hearts of everyone. Meanwhile, when Krishna and Balaram began walking, then their feeling was to give the greatest joy and pleasure to all of their devotees as mischievous children. They would go to the houses of the various gopis and they would steal their butter and yogurt. And sometimes the gopis would come to Mother Yashoda to complain. They would say, your Krishna, he is such a naughty boy. What will you do? He comes into our house with his friends and he breaks our pots of butter and yogurt and steals it. And when we catch him and say, you are a thief, He says, no, you are a thief. And at other times, when we keep our yogurt hanging from rafters, they pile various mortars and planks, and they climb up, and with a stick, they make a hole, so all of the yogurt will and butter will begin to drip, and they catch it. And then they invite all their friends and all of the monkeys and distribute it. And after everyone eats to their full satisfaction, they start throwing it on the floor and on the wall, saying, this butter is so useless, even the monkeys will not eat. And at other times when it is... And when we keep things very well hidden, sometimes they go to our sleeping babies and they make them cry by pinching them or putting water in their ears. And sometimes they pass urine and stool on our floor. While they were making these complaints, Krishna was very much afraid. What will Yashoda do? His eyes were moving in great fear. And when Mother Yashoda looked at him, she could not chastise him. Her heart would melt in so much love. And all the other gopis, when they would look at him, they would simply be smiling and laughing. And Mother Yashoda said, all right, I will take off his jewels so he does not be so bright, and I will somehow keep him. And they said, no, please. The only reason why we make our yogurt and our butter is with the hope that he will come to steal it. It is the pleasure and goal of our life. This is the heart of a devotee. We know that everything is meant for Krishna's satisfaction. Our desire is that Krishna will steal our hearts, steal our minds, steal everything from us to enjoy for himself. That is the perfection of our life, when Krishna accepts us as his servants. So it is explained that one day Krishna and his friends were playing, and they came home, and Balaram and other gopas complained to Yashoda that Gopal, in a secluded place, has eaten dirt. She became very afraid. If you eat dirt, you become sick. Why you have eaten dirt? So many nice sweetmeats, so much nice milk and ghee and butter, everything you have at your house, why you're eating dirt? Krishna said, I have not eaten dirt. My friends are liars. They are saying these lies just to make me in trouble, so you will punish me. If you want to see, you look in my mouth. So Mother Yashoda said, yes, you open your mouth. So he opened his mouth. And when he opened his mouth, what did she see? In that little tiny mouth of the small child, she saw all of the planets, all moving and non-moving living entities, all of the mountains, all of the rivers, all of the oceans, all of the elements of the creation. She saw the Virat Roop. And she began to tremble in great reverence. And with folded hands, she began to offer prayers, knowing him to be the Supreme Personality of Godhead. She began to beg forgiveness. I am thinking you are a baby. Please forgive me for all of the punishments I have given you. But Krishna, by his own sweet yogamaya potency, he covered her perception of this Aishwarya or opulences. And from within her heart, he increased her motherly affection. And in this way, she developed such love for Krishna as a mother to a child. Her breast was filled with milk. She completely forgot all of the opulences and excellences she had seen, and she began to feed him her milk. This is the special opulence of Vrindavan. It is described in the Shastras that the Lord has two features when we understand him in the perfectly liberated state of consciousness: Aishwarya and Madhurya. Aishwarya means his greatness, his powers, his majestic, supreme position as the Lord of all. But when our devotion increases to such an extent of intimacy, all of these opulences are completely covered, or let us say eclipsed, by the sweetness of our love for Krishna. In Sakya Ras, love of a friend; Vatsalya Ras, love of a parent for a child; or Madhurya Ras, the love between lovers. This is all on a completely pure, transcendental state, beyond the modes of material nature. It is the perfection of liberation. So one day, on Diwali, Mother Jashoda was churning the yogurt. In fact, she was thinking that Krishna, he goes to all these other gopis' houses to steal their butter and yogurt. What is wrong with my yogurt and butter? Why he's not satisfied? So she began to grow special flavored grasses. And she would feed those special flavored grasses to the best of the cows. Nanda Maharaj had 900,000 cows. And she would grow these grasses very carefully, and personally, with her own hands, she would arrange to feed them to these cows. And then she would go to milk those cows, thinking that this milk will be so fragrant and so sweet that Krishna will be so satisfied that he will not care to steal anyone else's butter. So she went to collect those grass, those milk from cows, and she began to churn. And as she was churning, little Krishna came to her, and he grabbed onto the churning rod so she could no longer churn. And he indicated to her that, "I am hungry, Mataji." So she sat down just next to the churning rod, and she began to feed Krishna with her milk. At that time, the milk that was on the stove began to boil over. Of course, we should know that whatever Mother Jashoda did was for Krishna. Whatever was on the stove, she was making a preparation for Krishna. So it is not that she left Krishna for some other activity. Srila Prabhupada explains, in devotional service, there are so many things that we may have to do for Krishna at the same time. And proper intelligence means to understand what has its priority. And if we are sincere, Krishna within our heart will give us the information, either through an advanced spiritual guide or through our own intelligence, by which we will understand which of our services for Krishna should be done when. So Mother Jashoda, Krishna gave her this intelligence, that you should go and take the boiling milk off the stove. Jiva Goswami explains why the milk was boiling. Because nothing in the spiritual world is dead matter. Everything is ananda chinmaya ras. Everything is chinmani, full consciousness. Everything is personal. Everyone is personal. There is no dead matter. The milk is a devotee who has assumed the form of milk just to be enjoyed by Krishna. And the milk was thinking that I am existing only for the pleasure of Krishna. I am existing only so Krishna will drink me and enjoy me. But now look, Krishna is drinking the milk from Mother Yashoda, from her breast. And that milk is so sweet, he'll go on drinking that milk forever. And that way he'll never come to drink me. So what is the use of my life if I cannot serve Krishna, and if I cannot be enjoyed by Krishna, then my life is useless. So therefore, I may as well commit suicide by jumping in the fire. So the milk jumped out of the fire to commit suicide, jumped out of the pot into the fire. So Mother Yashoda went to take the pot off. And meanwhile, Krishna was thinking, why she has put me down? I will show her a good lesson. So he took a stone and he broke the clay pot that the butter was kept in, and he began to eat the butter. And then he called his monkey friends and he began to feed to monkeys. Meanwhile, Mother Yashoda, after taking the milk off, the milk jumped back in the pot. He was thinking that now Krishna will drink me, so I will make myself very nice. So she came back to the grinding mortar, and Krishna was gone. Where has he gone? Then she saw nearby there was the broken butter pot. But Krishna was gone. So she began to follow the butter footprints, because as Krishna was eating the butter, he was stepping also. So as he was hiding, there was footprints of butter. So she was following very carefully. And then she came to the place where Krishna was hiding, eating the butter. As he was hiding, his eyes were very nervously, like a frightened child, looking in all directions to make sure his mother was not coming. But she very quietly, secretly, came closer and closer. And all of a sudden, Krishna saw her and got up and began to run. Queen Kunti prays, how wonderful. The Supreme Absolute Truth, the Lord of all Lords, whom even the demigods obey with great fear, who is the destroyer of all the asuras, who is the destroyer of the entire material creation, how he is running in fear of Mother Yashoda. So she was thinking, I must catch him, otherwise he may hurt himself. So she was running after him, and he was running away. And they were running, and the garlands of flowers fell from her hair, and her sari was loosened, and she began to perspire. Krishna cannot be captured, even by the meditation and the tapasya of the greatest of the yogis, or the intense study of the jnanis. He cannot be captured even by millions and millions of sacrifices and yajnas of the karmis. He is only captured by devotion. Mother Yashoda captured Krishna. And she was thinking that today my servants have not come, so there are so many chores I have to do for the pleasure of Krishna. She did not want to punish him. She just wanted to make sure he was safe. So she decided to tie him up to the grinding mortar, which is used for grinding spices. It was made out of wood. So she took rope sufficient And she went to tie it around Krishna's small waist. And to her great surprise, the rope was 2 fingers too short. So she gathered more rope and tied it to the original rope. And when she went to tie it around Krishna's small waist, again it was 2 fingers too short. And then she got more and more rope. And soon the other gopis, they heard about this. Krishna's gopi jana ballaba. He is the giver of pleasure to the gopis. They all came by and they were all bringing more and more and more rope for Mother Yashoda. It was a festival of ropes. They were tying all different color, beautiful ropes. And however much they tied, it was still 2 fingers too short. Soon they had ropes long enough for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of fingers. And the most wonderful thing is Krishna's waist was not growing. Krishna's waist remained the exact tiny little size, and the ropes were getting hundreds and hundreds of feet long, and still, when they went around Krishna's waist, they were 2 fingers too short. This is the inconceivable glory of Krishna. Whatever Krishna does is beyond all the limitations of material consciousness or the material laws of nature. Parasya shaktir vivadai vishruyate. Krishna has inconceivable potencies. And if we understand this fact, then we can have real faith in the wonderful glories of the personality of Godhead. Sometimes unfortunate souls try to calculate, understand, comprehend Krishna's pastimes by their own material rational abilities, by what makes sense to them. But Krishna cannot be reached in any way through any material resources. He is beyond our logic. He is beyond our reasoning. He is the supreme independent person who can do anything at any time, in any way, effortlessly. This can only be understood through faith. This can only be comprehended by one who receives the mercy of Krishna through the blessings of his devotees. There is no other way of understanding Krishna consciousness. It is a great science. Everything is explained in such technical, philosophical terms. But ultimately, we have to come to that point of disregarding our limited intelligence and accepting with faith the inconceivable opulence of the Absolute Truth. We cannot limit Krishna to what is possible by our calculation. We can put a Sputnik in the sky for many years and be very proud of our scientific achievements. But Krishna has created millions and millions and millions of planets which are all floating in the sky. The Earth planet is small compared to so many others, even that the scientists have discovered. How they are floating, how they remain in orbit. They are not floating in water. They're not even floating in air. They're floating in space, the subtlest of all elements. Can anyone do this? Krishna is inconceivable. This material creation is so filled with inconceivable miracles. But we are so blind. We cannot see. We just take things to be so ordinary. So we must have this faith. for Krishna to lift the Govardhan hill with the little finger of his left hand. For a materialistic person with materialistic calculations, they would think, how is it possible to balance such a huge mountain on one little finger? But Krishna is balancing all the universes, billions and trillions of quadrillions of universes. He is balancing in them all in his form of Mahavishnu while he's sleeping. What kind of supreme person? He is creating, as Karanodakshai Vishnu, he is creating all the universes, and from him everything within each universe is emanating, and he's doing it all while he's in his yoga nidra, while he's in his sleep. What can you do when you are sleeping? That is the difference. That is Krishna. So hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of feet of rope were being tied together, and Krishna's waist remaining so small, so beautiful and attractive, was unable to be tied by all of them. But seeing the love of Yashoda, Krishna wanted to show the world the supreme excellence of bhakti. He wanted to reveal the ultimate truth that the supreme controller takes great pleasure in being controlled by his devotee. Bhakti is the path of love. Bhaktyamam abhijanati. Krishna says it is only through bhakti that I can be approached and known as I am. Bhakto sime shakacheti rahasyam yetadutamam. Only if we have love, devotion, can we know Krishna. Can we understand the supreme truth of the Shastra. So, this rope is the personification of the love of Yashoda. This rope is the symbol of devotion. And Krishna makes his promise that whoever takes this rope of devotion, I will most certainly be captured, be bound, be controlled by that love. So in this month of Damodar, we celebrate the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the supreme process by which we can approach Him, devotional service. And it is in this month of Damodar that we should very carefully increase our sadhana, increase the quality, if possible, increase the quantity of our chanting of the holy names during japa, during kirtan. Increase the quality and the quantity of our hearing the glories of the Lord, especially the wonderful pastimes of Krishna as he was a little baby living in Vrindavan. Shukadeva Goswami explains, whoever hears these wonderful narrations of Krishna as a small child, Bal Gopal, will certainly attain attraction, super excellent unalloyed attraction for the service of Govinda. One great devotee prayed, I am not afraid of any of the dangers of this material world, nor do I worship the Vedas, the Shrutis, the Smritis, the Mahabharata. I only worship Nanda Maharaj, in whose courtyard the supreme absolute truth is helplessly crawling like a little child. What is bhakti? This is bhakti. To worship those who have devotion. To honor and serve those who have devotion. When Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained, Gopi Bharatura Padakamalayor Adas Adas Anudas, that the supreme perfection and ambition of our lives is to be the servant of the servant of the servant, this is what it means. You do not get bhakti from Krishna. You get bhakti only from those devotees who Krishna empowers to deliver it. When we please the devotees, when we serve the devotees, when we hear and chant in the association of devotees, by the blessings of those devotees, Krishna reveals bhakti within our hearts. So this month of Kartik is the special opportunity that Krishna gives all of us to develop and awaken that treasure of bhakti within us by hearing and chanting His glories, by living purely in the service of His devotees. After Krishna was bound to the grinding mortar, Mother Yashoda went back to her other services for Krishna's pleasure. And then Krishna, he crawled. And as he crawled, this big, big, heavy wooden mortar was being dragged behind him. And he saw two trees. Big, big, big towering trees. They were hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years old. They were reaching to the sky. And they were very wide and thick. Formidable trees. And Krishna understood that the great devotee Narada Muni had cursed the two demigod sons of Kuvera to become these trees. And anyone who receives the blessings of Krishna's devotee, Krishna will always give favor to that person. Manigriva and Nala Kuvera were actually devotees of Shiva. But they were very proud. They were very proud of everything. They had too much wealth, too much prestige. They were very proud that they were the best Shivites, devotees of Shiva. They were proud of everything. Kuvera, being the son of Kuvera, means you're very wealthy. So these things are curses. Queen Kunti said, attachment to material opulences are the greatest curses to our spiritual life because they make us proud. And what is the greatest danger of being proud? You offend great souls. And you cannot call out the name of Krishna helplessly. So, Narada, seeing their pride, not even willing to offer respect, they were bathing naked with some heavenly ladies. And when he came by, the ladies, they covered themselves, but they just, we don't have to show any etiquette to anyone. We are the sons of Kuvera. We are Nala Kuvera and Manigriva. So Narada cursed them. You like to be naked? Then you be naked as trees. And cursed them to be trees. But whatever a devotee does is always out of compassion. It is always with the best interest for everyone. So he made them trees in the courtyard of Nanda Maharaj in Brajbhumi. Anything that comes from a devotee is ultimately a blessing. Because a devotee does not discriminate. A paramhamsa, pure soul like Narada, he does not discriminate, this person should be punished and this person should be rewarded. Externally it appears that way, but internally the punishment and reward is all done out of compassion for that soul's spiritual enlightenment. So Krishna crawled through those two trees The grinding mortar got stuck behind, and he pulled with the rope around his waist, and the trees came falling down, and Manigriva and Nalakuvera came out of the trees. And because they had witnessed his beautiful pastimes, they had become completely purified and surrendered to the personality of Godhead. Similarly, in whatever condition of life we may be in due to our previous sinful activities, if we simply receive the mercy of the great souls and always keep our mind fixed in the beautiful name and beautiful form and beautiful pastimes of Sri Krishna, then it is for certain that Krishna will personally deliver us from our materialistic condition and award us his eternal